This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kicking off hour two here at Money Moves, VSiN, the sports betting network, SiriusXM, channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Plenty of NBA and NHL to get to in a little bit, including Darren Millard, Vegas Golden Knights TV broadcaster. He's going to join us in a little bit, give us the lowdown on all things Vegas, which is a team I didn't realize you were pretty interested in down the stretch, or you had some opinions on. We didn't get to it yesterday.
Well, I mean, they're here, so, and I'm trying, look, unlike the some people I know, I am trying to balance out my viewing habits and trying to get into it a little bit more so I can have really nuanced and strong conversations about hockey.
I thought, thank you very much, I did a really nice job in our NBA segment earlier.
You mean when you were just asking me questions?
Yep.
Well-formed,
well-thought questions.
Come on,
little yesterday. Come on, I'm doing my best.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yes.
Let's hear
your opinion, though, on the Golden Knights.
They're the fakest good team in the NHL. I don't think there's really any question about it. They keep winning these one-score games, which is absolutely ridiculous, especially in hockey. I mean, come on.
That you call them one-score games.
What do you mean?
Like one-goal games?
What's a goal?
Yes, I understand what you're
the
saying,
score,
but no one says that in hockey, so it's a little funny.
Oh, I'm sorry, one goal games. Like, sorry about that. Either way, they keep winning these one goal games. They're 16-8-10. They're Fugazi as all hell. But from what I understand, the division stinks, So they might be able to just get into this thing anyway. But I don't know about you. I don't think constantly winning in shootouts or overtime, which, by the way, they lost in a shootout to New Jersey just the other day. As a team that is sitting where they're at, both in the odds and just in their division, I don't view them as a threat in any way, shape, or form. I think their offense stinks.
So I think it'll be interesting to hear from Darren's perspective what he thinks might happen, especially like from health and a team that can peak at the right time, the back end of the year, like they have in the past, what that's ultimately going to look like for them. But I'm in complete agreement with you right now. This is a 16-win team.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the overtime games and shootouts. That's why their points have been inflated the way that they have, is because they're sneaking points in these losses because they've come in overtime or shootouts. And it's not great, but I mean, Anaheim is at the top of the division right now. Edmonton is trailing them, and they're not a team that you really want to write home about right now.
Edmonton just abused them the other night, so.
they're not good, and they trade for goalie that's injured already, Tristan Jarry. So there's just a lot of layers to this, which we can get to a little bit later on. One thing I wanted to talk about here quickly, and it's a thing that I didn't realize was a thing until we were talking off air, because I was scrolling TikTok the other day and I saw this video. Well, I can't get it out of my head, and everybody's making me feel like I'm the one that's crazy, and I'm not the one that's crazy. But I saw this video where a woman was talking about how she doesn't charge her phone. She only does it when she needs a charge. And I thought it was just human nature. 10 out of 10 people, when we go to sleep, we plug our phones in the nightstand next to us. Is that not correct? Is that not accurate? You don't do that?
I don't do that.
Plug your phone in at night. You go to bed, you plug your phone in, and then it's juiced and ready for you to go for the whole rest of the day.
No.
What do you mean no?
I don't know. I'm of the mindset I charge it when I need it. I've asked a couple of people now at me, JVT, at Storm Monotony, what do you think your average charge is on your phone?
I'm in the 70s.
Basis? Yeah, I'm in the 20s or 30s.
No. So are you a low power mode person? Are you living in low power mode? You don't even do that?
No. Why would I? It functions the same at 20% that it does at 90%.
It's going to die all the way, though.
But it doesn't.
This is genuine serial killer behavior to me. I don't understand it, because even in the commercial break previously, when we had Adam Burke on, we asked him the question, do you charge your phone at night? And he said no.
No, but his is different because he mentioned, I don't think you were listening to him, he charges it while he's sitting at his desk.
Yes.
He works a lot at his desk, so I'm sure his phone is relatively
charged. But still, it's just it's automatic for me. When I go to sleep, I plug my phone in. Please, those of you out there, but apparently it's a young person thing where, and no, you're not that young, that they say charging your phone at night for that long, it actually hurts your battery in total longevity. I don't know. Anyways, I think
so,
you all
technology
are
that I
insane.
Need it.
Why not just have your phone charged for the whole day? Why are you living on 20%? The edge? Why? It makes no sense. Okay, tweet at us. Let me know. I cannot be the crazy one in this experience.
Open my eyes.
Buffalo Bills fans, however, might be going a little bit crazy, because in a season where the Kansas City Chiefs are finally out of this thing, You don't have to worry about them in the AFC. Mm-hmm. They have had this roller coaster of ups and downs, and now a potential injury here for Josh Allen, day-to-day with a right foot injury he suffered in the team's win over Cleveland this past weekend. The anticipation is he's going to be available. Yeah. That's what Sean McDermott said, so maybe not a large concern.
He played through it like we were watching.
He didn't miss a snap.
Yeah.
But when we saw him go down and grab his leg, and it ended up being a foot, which was odd, especially given the way that he reacted to it. But I'm just looking at this Buffalo team, and I don't know if I really like what I see or trust what they are going into the playoffs. How do you view them right now?
Well, I don't think you trust them defensively at all. I think that's very real.
Like, Josh Allen can't be Superman constantly, especially if he's a little dinged up the way he plays.
Well, and that's what you're asking him to do. I mean, coming back against the New England Patriots, holding on against the Cleveland Browns, doing all these things from his standpoint. He's got a ton of rushing touchdowns this year. There's so much on his shoulders, because his team defensively is an average to below average group. And this is what we have seen all year long from the Buffalo Bills. So, no, I don't trust them in that sense. They come into this now, into this week, I should say, 31st in expected points added per rush by opponents. They're one of the worst run defenses in the National Football League. And there's going to be some opponents that you run into that are going to be able to run the ball. You just can't consistently trust that your defense should have to do this on a down-to-down basis. And I think that's probably what's ultimately what's going to bite them at some point. Their pass defense has been great, but it's just the inability to stop the run that I think is going to burn them at some point, because they have been getting moved around. And we've seen it time and time again. Again, last week, you barely hold on. The week prior to that against the New England Patriots, you had to come storming back. The week prior to that storm, you and I watched that game, of course, together. Mm-hmm. We were on the air. The Bengals should have won that game, and yet they somehow, the Bills do, pull it out of their rear ends. This is going to be, I think, a problem for Buffalo once we get to the postseason. And by the way, it might be a problem this week.
Yeah.
Because Philly's going to come in here and they're going to want to run the ball. And we have no point of evidence that would say the Buffalo Bills defense can stop that. Yep. So why should you believe in them in the big play? I think you believe in their offense.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen has kind of proven he is arguably the best player in the National Football League right now. But from a defensive standpoint, there's nothing you can hang your hat on here for Buffalo other than winning shootouts constantly.
Yeah, Bills are a 1.5-point favorite, short favorite at home against the Eagles this week, total 43 and a half.
We call them one-touchdown games? We're not allowed to call them one-score games.
Listen, I'm just saying, it sounded weird. It sounded awkward. It did not sound natural to my ear. The Chiefs, meanwhile, as I kind of framed that whole conversation around Kansas City being out of it and kind of finally having that door open in what has been a gauntlet of the AFC. Like, you always have to get through them to get where you want to go. Gardner Minshew on injured reserve, season-ending knee injury. Wide receivers Rashee Rice, Tyquan Thornton remain in concussion protocol right now. We are going to get Chris Oladokun starting this thing this weekend. And also, amidst all of the injuries and everything that Kansas City is dealing with, the Chiefs also announced Monday that they are leaving Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on, at least as it pertains to the Chiefs organization right now. But they are hosting the Broncos this week as a massive dog on Christmas. 13.5 is that number, despite a game with a total of 36.5.
Yeah. I guess I'll invoke what we talked about last week. It seems too easy, right?
Yeah.
But the Denver Broncos coming off of a loss, laying this number against a hated rival, if you will, in the division, with the ability to kind of, or the need, the necessity to bounce back and maintain your status as the top seed in the AFC, you would think that all signs pointing to the Chiefs, where if the air wasn't out of the balloon before last week, I mean, come on. You went out to Tennessee and you got held at arm's length and pretty much had nothing for the Titans. And now you have to send out Chris Oladokun against this defense. Seems like a tough spot to be in, man. It seems too easy to go out there and say, yeah, like 13.5. Why wouldn't the Broncos be able to get this done?
We're getting some feedback here on this phone thing.
Okay.
A couple people. One, I'm on your side, Stormy. Definitely. What? Plug your phone in at night, you serial killers. But it said, definitely up there with grown men that take baths. What does that mean?
What? What is that?
Said, I'm on your side. Definitely up there with grown men that take baths. Plug your phone in at night, you serial killers. Oh, so that's a serial killer behavior.
Grown men that take baths.
Do you bathe?
Do I bathe? Yes, I bathe. Do I take baths? No, I don't.
Sorry, that's my bad. That's my bad. Bank it, Bond 19. I didn't read that well. Yeah. The delivery was poor. Merry Christmas to you as well.
I bathe regularly.
Okay.
You got to ask
the questions. Colin says, you aren't crazy. Why wouldn't you charge your phone at night when you aren't using it? JVT, do you have a portable charger with you at all times?
No, I just don't use. I'm not like you people that are on their phone all the time.
On your phone all the time. You're always showing me videos. You're always on the little Twitter machine.
How am I? Oh, what are you talking? I show you videos on my laptop.
Mm.
Yeah, what are you talking?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You don't just throw these accusations.
You're an animal.
Show you pictures one time.
Josie714 also said, look, you charge your phone at night. It doesn't hurt the battery at all. So what are these young people doing? Why are they all lying to me?
I think you have an over-reliance on your phone. It's a little ridiculous.
What are you talking? I'm an email person.
Take your nose out.
So this is another thing. I hate the red bubbles. If you ever see me on my phone, it's just because I'm like exiting out of something because I can't do the red bubble on the text or on the email or any of that.
Oh, you're just so popular. You just get all these texts.
No,
all the time.
No, I don't. Some of you animals out there have a little email thing that's got 1,000. What's your email number?
I'll tell you this right now. Hold on.
Mine is 1. I have 1 text right now. I don't know who it's from, but it is the bubble is. Oh, it's from Sherry, mother. I love you.
I have 2
don't
different.
Don't text me while I'm on the air.
I have 2 different. I have like 4 different emails, so I'm at 150 unread emails.
What?
Yeah.
I have 6, and it's killing me inside. 150?
I'll get to them.
No, you won't. You won't get to them.
You're right. You know what I'll do?
Actually sent you 2 yesterday, and I guarantee you haven't read them yet.
You sent me your schedule like I asked for, and you sent me an info packet for the Orange Bowl.
Dang it.
Yep, exactly. See, I read the emails that matter. Thank you very much.
Oh, I matter?
I mean, I need to know where your schedule is going to be so that people can check in with me and ask, where's Stormy this week?
I didn't realize that this was such a problem.
Oh, it drives
you had.
Me nuts.
Guys, do not ask JVT what game assignment I have coming up because it really angers him. He told me that someone asked him the other day.
I said, no.
And he said, I don't know, though he knew.
Of course I
know. Even though he knew.
Just like, I don't know where she is. You can ask her.
Okay, we got to step aside. Take a quick time out here. When we come back, let's dive into a little hockey conversation. Darren Millard of the Vegas Golden Knights TV broadcast is going to stop by, talk through the slate and his thoughts on what JVT is calling the fakest good team in the NHL. That's just wrong, man.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The holidays might slow other people down, not us at VSiN. While you're celebrating this holiday season, traveling, maybe taking a rare day off, we will be live all Christmas Day, wall-to-wall betting coverage. Your morning's going to start with VSiN by the books, followed by a numbers game. We've got a special edition of Live Bet Christmas to guide you through the early action, hosted by yours truly. Then, in the afternoon and evening, we're going to keep it all going with Follow the Money, VSiN Primetime, and cashing out all your favorite programs available on Christmas Day. So even if your routine shifts during the holidays, your betting coverage doesn't have to. From bowl season, NFL action, all of the NBA holiday slate, we've got you covered. VSiN, your home for holiday betting action, as we welcome you back here to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bontoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We had a short 4-game slate in the NHL Monday, but loaded to the gills, 13 games today in the NHL. Last set of games before the 3-day holiday break, and to help us break it all down and talk a little Vegas Golden Knights, excited to have Darren Millard join us here on the Progressive Guest Line, pre-post intermission host for the Vegas Golden Knights on the TV side, host of the VGK Insider Show, the 100% Hockey Podcast as well. And Darren, before we get into all the hockey action, I have a score to settle here briefly, because apparently I'm surrounded by serial killers here that when you look at their email, they have 1,700 of them or 50 text messages. We have to get rid of the bubble, right? Like, you read the texts and the emails, or how many emails do you have right now?
Boy, emails a lot.
No!
Text messages even more. My kids get make fun of me because I have these active texts going in my inbox. So I'm on the guilty side of both sides of it. I'm terrible.
How do you guys do this? How do you live like this? This is not good.
Yeah, it bothers me too. And my 18-year-old daughter will go through my phone and get rid of all the texts. And then 3 minutes later, I'm right back. Wow. And she looks at me like so disappointed. Like, she looks at me with the same look that I looked at her when she was 15 and didn't study for a test. And it's humbling. Let's just say that.
Well, at the risk of derailing this, and I don't want to age you, Darren, and I am an ageist, but I think the real big old people thing is My mom with the 70 apps that are open and she never closes them and then wonders why her phone is running
draining
very slowly.
Battery.
Absolutely ridiculous. But we don't want to go there. Darren, I want to ask you, Stormy.
And I'm guilty of it right now.
Yeah,
no!
There you go. I think Stormy agrees with me, and I don't want to immediately start any issues here, but I will. I have been on the record as saying that the Vegas Golden Knights are the fakest good team in the NHL. What is your response to that statement?
Okay, say that again.
They're the fakest good team in the NHL.
No, I think they're a good team that has probably got the least out of their schedule and point production that they could. I think that we've glossed over some injuries. We've gotten used to William Karlsson not being in the lineup for now 20 games. Aiden Hill's got one win this year. They played the last couple without their best forward and their best defenseman. They've been able to get games to overtime, but haven't been able to convert those games on double-digit attempts. I think you could be looking at a spectacular season instead of a really good season right now if they were able to get more out of it. And when they turn the corner and they get healthy and they're going in the right direction, which we saw on the five-game road trip with when Jack was available. The power play was clicking, and they won four of those five games. And I think that they are should be considered one of the top five teams in the National Hockey League in point production. That's where they are, but they could be even better into that category of what Colorado and Dallas and Minnesota are right now with a little bit of puck luck.
I know the trip up to Alberta with the games at Calgary and Edmonton didn't go great for them, but they are heavy favorites tonight to end what is a three-game skid in all hosting the San Jose Sharks. What can people expect from the VGK tonight on the ice?
Well, I think the start tonight will be something to watch, and you always want to be in the building at T-Mobile Arena and the Fortress for the show. But given what's happened in the last couple and falling behind trailing by four goals in each of the last two games, and particularly not being great out of the gate in the first period. The conversation's been had multiple times. The discussion between coaches and players and players to players is dragging on them. I think that they're tired of it, and I expect for a game that normally is unpredictable in the National Hockey League, that last game before the holidays, I think you are going to see an extremely focused and prepared group and ready group tonight to just try and put it to rest and be able to enjoy a game. They haven't played a lot of multiple goal games in which they've been able to enjoy the result this year. They're, I think, third most one-goal games. So this is one where I expect it'll be more of a professional performance tonight, the guys coming out and being able to put their foot down. Add in the fact that they've dominated San Jose over the franchise's existence is another advantage.
One of the things that I feel like week to week I keep asking either at Stormy or some of our other guys here that follow the league is about the staying power of the Anaheim Ducks, and yet they continue to maintain their spot here at the top of the Pacific. How legitimate is this team?
I think that they're a legitimate playoff contender. I don't anticipate them being able to stick around the top of the Pacific Division. With Edmonton coming, Los Angeles, I think will be there in the end, and Vegas. Now, that said, you could go into the Christmas break tonight with an Edmonton win and a Vegas victory, a three-way tie atop the Pacific Division, which I think a lot of people would have expected Edmonton and Vegas to be there, but not Anaheim. They're more talented. They've added some depth. I like what Pat Verbeek has done, complimenting the kids with Anaheim. The head coach has made a massive difference with that team and adjusting their coaching staff. But they're still on the rise, and I've been impressed with what they've been able to do, but the second half of this season and when it gets really deep into it after the Christmas break, I think you'll see not as much a fault on Anaheim, but just more separation by Winnipeg or by Vegas and Edmonton to be able to just take it to another level.
Darren, we mentioned the big slate of games that we do have today, and an early one for us West Coasters, the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Penguins at 1:10 Pacific, 4:10 Eastern, one of those three national games today. Leafs not going well this year, last in the Atlantic and the Eastern Conference. They dropped six of their last eight games, three straight going into today. They fire an assistant coach who ran the Leafs power play, which to me feels like throwing a bucket of water on a forest fire right now with all of the things that have gone wrong for Toronto. How do you view this team right now? What's gone wrong, and can they find a way to get it in check?
Well, there's a lot of noise around the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then you add some struggles along the way, and it only amplifies the bonfire that can burn and get out of control. And we've seen that in the past with that team and that organization and the fan base. One thing about the assistant coach and making the change up, Mark Savard, who you're right, ran the power play. His philosophy was to spread the guys out, so have two units that can offset each other, which goes against what a lot of teams do in going with a top-heavy first unit, and they get a minute 30 of power play time, and then the second unit will come on and get just the mop-up duty. I think you'll see a change there. I think you'll see them definitely load up with the first unit. They've only been 13% this year. They need to jump there. If they do that and they get some more production and some confidence off that number one power play unit with everybody together, all their big stars together, I think there's potential for them to get some confidence and go and try to quiet the noise. But it's approaching the point where it's driving into a fork in the of what this team is able to do. I don't know whether you saw last week, but they were down against Chicago, and they rallied, tie, and eventually win the game. But on the goal, Austin Matthews scored, and he put his hand to his ear, like, "Can I hear you?" which was in direct response to some booing that occurred earlier in the game at Scotiabank Arena. So it's an uncomfortable position in Toronto, a team that lost Mitch Marner and hasn't been able to recover and find their footing this year to be back in the race in the Atlantic Division.
Darren, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it, and have a great broadcast this evening.
Thank you. I miss you. And
miss you,
John,
too.
I think we should hang out more.
Totally,
I mean,
agree.
To hang out more, we'd have to at least have hung out once.
Come on. Yeah. We all got to get together. Go grab a beverage.
Oh, I'm a big Labatt Blue guy. I don't know if he's there, but Labatt Blue is my beer of choice.
Okay. He's disconnected. Yeah. Love Darren, though. He's great. Former colleague when I used to work at the Vegas Golden Knights. He's awesome.
I wonder what your existence is like.
What do you mean?
Everybody just
what
so nice to you.
Like?
Everybody just so nice. Oh, my God.
You really don't like that people are nice to me.
Oh, Stormy, I miss you. Stormy, you're the best. Stormy's great. And then off the air, you're like, people are so mean to me. It's just so
No. That is not what I never said. People are so mean to me. But what I said is, and I don't know if any of you guys are like this.
No.
You can have so many people be nice to you, but like the one mean thing someone says is the one that sticks in the back of your mind and won't go away.
Oh, man, I wonder what that morbidly obese dude with a picture of an anime girl on Twitter is. Man, his thoughts really do matter.
All that to say, the Leafs are getting bet today, out to -130.
I have a hockey
hosting
question
the
for
Pens.
You.
Total 6.5. We'll be right back. Maybe I'll answer it. Depends if you get your head on straight. We'll be right back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
On Money Moves. If you haven't checked out ProfitX, now's the time. The number one sports prediction markets become the best future pricing you'll find on college football national championship odds, Super Bowl odds. Plus, with a huge holiday slate shaping up with playoff seeding, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match going on right now. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started. Again, VSIN when you download ProfitX. 20%. Purchase match. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here in Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, hanging out. You said you had a question for me before the break.
Yeah, so it has been over a month since the Edmonton Oilers have lost consecutive games. They've lost games, so they have not lost consecutive games in over a month. I believe it was November like 19th or the 20th, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
Are they starting to turn it around? I watched and I saw an offense that was relatively impressive on Sunday night. Granted, again, a little deep in the bottle, but I was watching it, and I thought, like, look, Edmonton picked them apart in the first period, kind of let off the gas and let them get back into it to an extent, but I don't think there was really any doubt that we're going to win that game. The fact that they haven't won or haven't lost consecutive games, are they starting to find some consistency? They have a home-and-home coming up here with Calgary that starts tonight. They won't play again until the 27th, but is this a team that is starting to find its footing? You have told me constantly, and evidence backs it up, that this is a team that constantly gets off to these slow starts. Are we finally starting to see them come out of this thing?
I think so. Starting to turn the corner. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, both top five in the NHL in points. Like, you know your stars are going to be your stars. Do wish that Connor McDavid was scoring a little bit more, not only for my preseason future on his goal scoring, but just in general, I think that if he could take a little bit more of that initiative, I think that would be good for the Oilers. What worries me and what always worries me is the defensive structure and goaltending, and especially when you just make the move off of Stuart Skinner to Tristan Jarry and he instantly gets injured. Yep. That's a little bit of a concern, but it does seem like things are shaping up in a more positive direction. Battle of Alberta tonight against the Calgary Flames. We'll see how that goes. That is one of, by the way, a handful of rivalry games that we have coming up in the NHL. Flames, Oilers, Florida, Carolina, Boston, Montreal, Caps, Rangers. That's an interesting game. What is the spread? I mean, not the spread, but the
we don't call it a spread, Stormy.
The puck line, the money line price in that game today.
Are you talking about Rangers and Capitals?
Yeah.
I'm looking at minus 153, minus 162, depending on where you're
from. So that's an interesting one. The Caps have dropped, what, five of their last six games. They've mm-hmm. been on a tough stretch, and every time you feel like they're going to get out of it, they somehow haven't. The Rangers, meanwhile, have been really good on the road this season, so I wonder if that's an intriguing dog, potentially, plus 136. Listen, the Rangers, they've had their struggles this year. It's not been good.
I know, but big picture, shouldn't they be? They're almost like the inverse of Vegas. Every overtime loss goes against them. Every shootout loss goes against them. And even though they just won the shootout the other day.
And they played a lot of overtime games this year. Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if this is like the inverse of what we're talking about with Vegas, where I call them a fake good team because they're only plus one in goal differential and they're sitting on 16
wins.
Maybe
they're a fake bad team kind of a thing.
And, so,
and they're not bad. I mean, they have more wins than Vegas does. Like, Vegas has 16 wins. They have 18.
Right. And look, maybe I'm trying to talk this into existence because I do have this Ranger future to win the cup because I thought that this was a good buy low opportunity. They still haven't strung things together, but you just look at this recent stretch and they had won two straight before losing to Nashville the other night. But even those two wins, overtime, shootout, you look at the stretch in which they had lost these games. If you go back to just the start of the month, December 2nd, mm-hmm. they have played in six overtime games, one of which has gone to a shootout. I mean, that to me, and by the way, they've lost quite a few of those too. I just wonder if this team, if you're just kind of waiting. Darren said it. It's why I call it a stupid sport. They're all stupid in their own aspects. I say it lovingly. But the stupidity of puck luck and the ability to just lose some of these games because you just can't get the puck behind this guy in net. I just wonder if we're just sitting on something here waiting for the Rangers still with plenty of hockey left to become that team given the bad luck they have experienced in these overtime games. Yep. It's insane.
But I agree, potentially. And this is a spot, though, even on the road – I kind of like them as a dog tonight. Plus 136, the price that I'm seeing right now. There's another dog I kind of like, too, in similar price range, the Buffalo Sabres today, which is a team that I've been hot and cold on throughout the course of the year when it comes to picking a side on their respective games. But plus 130 in Ottawa taking on the Senators, coming into this game riding a six-game win streak, taking on a Sens team that's been playing really well as of late as well, won four straight, five of their last six. They have been scoring at a pretty high rate, too, averaging, I think, 4.5, maybe a little under than that over their last seven games. But the Sabres, like, this is a team that I kind of buy in on playing hot. Over this win streak for Buffalo, their defense, their goaltending has been great. They actually have the best goals against average in the league the last 2 weeks. Alex Lyon in net in that time, 9.22 save percentage, 2.31 goals against, 5-0 in those games. They also have this, like, weird, I think maybe 5-0, 6-0 their last handful of games in the series that they've won. So there's something to matchups at times, and maybe there just is a bit of that secret sauce for the Buffalo Sabres in this one. So those are the two that I was kind of identifying as I went through, trying to see if I could find any value in some plus money today. Last 5 minutes here, though, we didn't really get into as much of the NBA slate as I wanted to earlier. What are some other games that caught your attention as you went through today?
Yeah, we're getting some injury updates. By the way, I don't know. We didn't really hit on this on Friday when the news came out because I think it came out near the end of the show. The injury report update is, I think, absolutely ridiculous and useless at this point. The injury reports are now getting updated every 15 minutes for a stretch. I mean, I guess we're getting some clarity on some of these guys. I keep going back to this. I will say it 1,000 times over. Make it with shoot around, just like the NFL does with its players in terms of practice availability. Mm-hmm. There is did not participate, there is limited participation, and then there is full participation. And remove it. I don't want like this, hey, did he or did he not? Because they'll probably make everybody limited and you'll have no idea what's going to happen. Make it binary. Make it, did he participate in shoot around or did he not? And make it mandatory that you report the participation of shoot around every single day.
I like that. Can we get that for the NHL too? Like have a strict thing that comes out and maybe like also a caveat of who the first goaltender off the ice is. Like just have that list. That'd be great.
I mean, to your point, I think it's stupid that you have to like pay attention to beat writers and say like they do wonderful jobs, but it's like first off the ice today at practice, who's it going to be? Yep. Like it's stupid. So the ability to gain an edge, I understand, or the desire to gain an edge, how much of an edge are you gaining in these situations? It's ridiculous. So for that in mind, I think we should update those, but we won't get that. As far as today is concerned, I think there's a couple of interesting spots. You know, we're seeing a lot of movement here. Interesting game. New Orleans and Cleveland, we can start here. Cleveland is a 8.5-point favorite. Total's 248.5. By the way,
ugh, Cavs beat our beloved Hornets last night.
I know. It was a good game, too. I thought the Hornets were going to be able to pull it off. They were kind of back and forth the whole way, but ultimately Hornets let go of the rope. Charlotte, by the way, with a win potential today, they're 7-point favorites against the Wizards. Anyway, for Cleveland, 8.5-point favorite. Darius Garland is questionable. I do wonder, because they were 10-point favorites at one point earlier today, the Pelicans, Stormy, very quietly.
Don't let them get hot.
That's right. They've won 5 straight. They've been covering some numbers. Since James Borrego has taken over as head coach, as I have put it, and Zach has been all over this on Harvard Handicappers, there's kind of like an adult in the room, and he's a really good coach, and actually will invoke the Charlotte Hornets one more time. The last time they made it to the play-in, it was James Borrego who was their head coach, kind of got the most out of one of those groups. They had won about 40 games. But they've won 5 straight. They've covered 8 straight at this point right now. I think this is a team that is worth kind of playing on as we go down the stretch and into a little bit of the Christmas break. And for Cleveland, with Garland questionable, I do wonder if maybe they're kind of holding off and saying, you know what? We've got a primetime standalone spot against the New York Knicks coming up on Christmas Day. We've kind of been getting our tails kicked a little bit back and forth these last couple of weeks. Haven't really been as consistent. Is Cleveland maybe looking ahead to kind of putting a best foot forward on Christmas Day in the first game of the day and maybe going to give Garland some rest, maybe look ahead to getting ready for that game as opposed to getting everything up and ready to go for one of the better cover teams in the NBA and a team that's been playing pretty well. So I think the Pelicans might be pretty live here.
That is an interesting perspective. Is there anything you can push forward to any of the other teams that are going to be playing on Christmas Day, having that more national spotlight, especially on a day where the Christmas NFL games, and I'll be curious to see what that audience differential disparity ends up being, because the NFL games aren't great. And the NBA's got an interesting card here.
I mean, I said this to, I can't remember who it was. By the way, if this microphone knocks over one more time, I'm probably going to just, like, throw it into the window.
There's one
underneath the desk. And it keeps falling over on me today. But the whole point here being, I don't think it's the same for everybody. I think that Cleveland is probably a team that has more of the onus on them to kind of get right in a big spot against a team that they could be competing for. An Eastern Conference playoff spot, or not even playoff spot, seed, and or just overall conference competitor with them. I think it means more for them. Like some of these other games, like San Antonio and Oklahoma City are going to play again in a day.
Right?
What does that really mean? Dallas and Golden State, I don't think there's really that much there. I think of all of the teams that are playing and then looking ahead to Christmas, I think that's probably the one that makes the most sense. I'll say this really quickly. Lakers and Phoenix, sounds like Austin Reeves might give this a go, so keep an eye out for that. This thing's down to like 4, 228. And what was the other one that looked out a little bit earlier today? I'll have to find the injury report. But, oh, Knicks. Knicks are sitting everybody, so it looks like they're going to be gearing up for Christmas coming up in a couple days.
Also, as we head to break here, we've been keeping tabs on the Boca Raton Bowl out there. Louisville and Toledo head-to-head. We saw a lot of money coming in on the Louisville Cardinals late, steamed out from as low as 6.5 to 12.5-point favorites. We're about 3 seconds out from the halftime break, and it's a 7-3 game right now. So we will hit you with the halftime line as we return and close out this Tuesday edition of Money Moves next. We'll have some best bets and some more tweets we got to read from y'all out there. Somebody thinks you are funny. We will hit on that and more next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Remember, you missed any of the program, you can always listen on your own time. Money Moves available in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Lots of feedback on this whole bubble conversation when it comes to your phone. The red bubbles. The red bubble for text messages, for emails. I am of the belief that you get them out of there. Okay. You read everything. You move on. JVT's like, no, you can have 100. It's fine.
I got to say really quickly.
Our producer, Wyatt, has 1,700 emails, and that's only one of his multiple emails.
Yeah, I got. I have a Yahoo account that is. You don't have, like, a junk mail account?
I do, but I just delete stuff. Like, you
I have a Yahoo account that has got about like 65,000 emails in it.
No.
If you want to email me, johnvon191@yahoo.com. Just fill it up. I don't really care.
No. Yeah. Or that's a good reminder. We keep on telling people our Twitter handles. You can email us as well. moneymoves@vsin.com.
That adds to our inbox count because that goes directly to us.
But I read those. I make sure that it is read in the account. Read. Anyways. We're getting a lot of people that agree with me,
okay,
which I appreciate. Send in the screenshot. Joe C714 says, oh, man, I have OCD about the red bubbles. Need to click on them and get them out of there.
Okay.
Completely agree.
Okay.
Jason H11 says, just say no to bubbles. You
I saw that. That was kind of confusing.
You didn't
get it. Why are we talking about the bubbles?
Like, you're just forget our whole conversation.
Pretty much.
I mean nothing to you. JT was laughing about the fact that people ask you where my games are, and you're like, nope, not telling. Who cares?
Absolutely ridiculous. I can't, like, yeah, it drives
me.
So
what was the thing that you wanted to do today, but we didn't really, we hadn't vetted it out, because you were talking about some of the Christmas ideas for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day programming, and there was something.
I believe, let me double check the date. I believe today should be Festivus. Yes, today is Festivus. Now, here's the thing. I don't really understand the whole bit. It's a Seinfeld thing. I've seen
some Seinfeld, but not enough to know references.
I've seen one episode, and it was at Mitch Moss's house.
Okay.
And it was one of those where Mitch swore up and down that this is hilarious. It's the best show ever. You have to watch it. Showed me an episode, and then, like, at every punchline, was, like, staring at me, making sure that I would laugh. And I was like, yeah, this is, like, it's funny.
That's a tough thing. Like, when someone shows you Instagram videos or TikTok videos, and they're like, they think this thing is really, really funny, and they want to see your reaction for it. But anyways, go on. So what is the concept of this?
I don't really know the concept. All I know is that during Festivus, you have an airing of grievances, which is you take the opportunity to tell the people in your life your grievances, to air them. And you're not supposed to hang on to it. You're not supposed to say anything. It's supposed to be a safe space in which I can tell you, hey, I got a problem with you. This is my problem. We say it and we move on. Like, that's it. You're not allowed to hold grudges over it. Okay. And you're not allowed to defend yourself.
So I instantly failed at this, though, when you tried to hit me with the, you know, here's my grievance. Everybody's always out. I'm not your freaking secretary. Everybody's always out here asking where you are.
Well, that's not a grievance toward you. That's a general grievance.
So that was my response, and I felt bad because I was like, I was supposed to sit here quietly. But then I was like, but that's not my fault.
That's correct.
That has nothing. That's completely out of my control.
You have a laundry
list. What's your real biggest grievance with me?
Oh, I can't. I mean, you're going to take this as a compliment. I can't really think of one.
Oh, man.
I also haven't put the effort into thinking about this that much.
What a time to be alive. This
I mean, today, the grievance would be you keep snorting into the microphone during the brace because you have some sort of congestion.
Yeah, I got to Lysol this bad boy. You, especially with Paul sitting in here next, I got to make sure that I spray and sanitize it for him. But my voice, so I wish in day-to-day life this is what my voice really sounded like. Have you ever seen that old In Living Color sketch with Jim Carrey where he is like, I'm Vera DeMilo. That's what my voice feels like, where he's the, like, he's supposed to be a woman on testosterone, and he's, like, pumping it up, and he's kind of, like, that's what I feel like. But this would be a nice broadcaster voice, you know? No nails on a chalkboard. Okay, one quick thing here. We are at halftime of the Boca Raton Bowl. Louisville up 7-3, which, as we mentioned before the break, this was a side that got steamed up pretty heavily this morning from 9 to 12.5. Opened as low, or like not opened, but was available at some places as low as 6.5 throughout the week. Louisville was getting bet like crazy. They have not had the performance that bettors expected to this point. On the live line for the rest of the game, they're 7.5-point favorites now. I mean, it's just such a slow-scoring game, 7-3, 29.5 your live total as well.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this quite a bit, right, which is, hey, these late moves, these steam, the steam movement all the time, especially in bowl season. It's not as accurate as maybe sometimes it would happen. But it's also, I mean, look, I don't think this is happening more in this year than any other. But we have seen some notable line moves in football in general that have been wrong. I mean, last night's a really good example. We saw a bunch of steam toward Indianapolis last night. Mm-hmm. That thing closed four. Yeah. They didn't even get there. And then here you have this one. Market is in one direction. And here we go. They can still cover the number, but it's only 7-3 right now in favor of Louisville. So whatever some of those that were steaming that up to 12.5, whatever they saw, that is not manifesting yet here for the Louisville Cardinals. But maybe it will. But Miller-Moss not playing particularly well. 11 of 18, 110 yards, 6.1 per attempt. A one touchdown and a Hail Mary attempt at the half that I think, according to some, fell about 15 yards short of the end zone.
Okay. Any plays for you today as we get to the best bets?
No, a lot of injury notes and stuff and noise, I would say. Of all of the sides, though, I do think that we talked about New Orleans catching that number against Cleveland, I think is something I'd be looking at. They're staring, New Orleans is, at a holiday break. They, shockingly enough, will not be playing on Christmas. However, Cleveland will be. The Knicks are clearly kind of gearing up for a Christmas game in a standalone spot while resting a bunch of dudes today and keeping them out. I think this is probably a situation where you maybe see and catch Cleveland looking ahead to a big one on Thursday on Christmas against the Knicks. The other part, too, is a lot of these teams on Christmas, actually, all of them will be playing their third game in four nights after a day off. So I think you're probably gearing up to put your best foot forward on a national scale coming up on Thursday.
I'm fighting back a sneeze here so hard right now.
Then what's your thing?
Cows juggling pineapples. No,
whatever you do.
Cows juggling pineapples.
You have
cows
no,
juggling pineapples.
You have no grievance to air?
And I think I got through it. So my one grievance with you.
There you go. My one.
Is that you know the buttons to push with me for one. And you just needle. Like, as soon as you know something bothers me a little bit, you just dig in even deeper, as deep as possible. And you specifically pay attention to when I'm not paying attention.
Correct.
And will ask me questions when you know I'm Googling something and not listening to you. Like, you actively are just like, yeah, Stormy, so da-da-da-da. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And you do it on purpose because you think it's funny and it's rude.
Pay attention. But I won't respond.
That's my only grievance, though. Right. I think we've really bonded. I am going to roll with Adam Burke, by the way, on UNLV -6.5 today against Ohio. I think that there is something to, and you know, a lot of these bowl games that we've been betting have been kind of narrative based, and I'm rolling down narrative street with this one, just that there's been a lot of program turbulence with Ohio and Brian Smith getting fired and all of the stuff that's come out around that. And UNLV is really trying to build something under Dan Mullen in year two and work toward what they can be next year. Obviously, it was a great season. You make it to the Mountain West title game, but can you end the season on a high note and kind of catapult you into the next year? So under a touchdown, I feel decent enough about it. So let's roll with UNLV to win by more than 6.5 points. And I think I am just going to do a couple half unit plays on those underdogs in the NHL. Rangers on the money line at the Caps, and then the Buffalo Sabres as well against the Ottawa Senators. +130, +135 range for both of those guys. See if we can get some dogs barking on the ice. Why not?
Have you noticed?
Also, you know what? Darren kind of sold me on the Golden Knights today. I might look at a 60-minute line on
the
Vegas against the Sharks.
The VGK employee sold you on the Vegas Golden Knights, huh?
Shocker. But, I mean, they're a $2 favorite in that game. I'm not really a big puck line player by nature, but regulation, I could get down with that. The Sharks aren't any good. They should win that game.
Okay. I will be going to the Wild game, I believe, on Monday.
I'm so excited for you.
Should be good.
When's the last hockey game you went to? Have you been to any this year?
No, not at all. It's been a couple of years. The last one I went to was, I believe, it was a Lightning game. The Knights won with like 0.2 seconds left on the clock. It was a while ago.
Okay.
But it was very good.
Those are fun. Yeah. I love when that kind of stuff happens. There was one game when I was still working for the team a couple years ago that I'll never forget. It was in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena. And I think they had to come down from 2 goals down, and Max Pacioretty scored with 0.7 seconds left on the clock to force overtime, and then they ended up winning in OT. It was sick. So fun. Like, those types of endings are just awesome in any sport, right? It works for whatever your, you know, whatever your fancy is. I'm trying to find this regulation line. I'm not a good multitasker.
I'm sure you'll get it at this point. As we head out, by the way, Money Moves is all done. Follow the Money coming up next. The show's already over. It's been a lot of fun. I would like to direct your eyes to this right here.
54,000 unread emails. That's vomit-inducing. Nope, 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 nope. And look at what you've done.
The specific number is 53,816 unread emails in my Yahoo account.
I I say that someone sent me a screenshot of like a beautiful clean screen with no bubbles. Now I have multiple tweets that are here. Some anxiety for you with full of red bubbles. Matt Warner, 16,393 unread emails. I am not about this life. Mark Hoppel, yes, that is the exact Vera DeMilo in living color sketch that I was looking for. So good. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us. Fun show as always. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Mitch and Polly coming up next. Let me Lysol this thing for him. Gotta sanitize the area.